Mr. McCarthy is now here, so almost complete task force. The next item on the agenda is completion of the laid-over items from the 14th meeting, and that is the presentation to us from, especially from consultant Tom, about botanical garden trends and their summary of what the next steps are for us to move forward in this process.
Good evening, everyone. Hello? Good evening, everyone. This is everybody again. As we've seen in the last number of meetings, we're just charting where we are now in the overall process. And indeed, you know, it is exciting to be determining opportunities and moving forward, looking to assemble those scenarios so that we can move to subsequent phases later on in the spring, gathering public feedback and implementation separate phases. One. And so, as the chairman indicated, this is our agenda for this evening. Next. So we're going to try to move relatively quickly through the botanical garden trends. We've had that material for a while, and we've had a chance to look at that. But we'll get through that material first. So botanical gardens, like a lot of public attractions, cultural educational initiatives, have been changing based on market forces, what people's expectations are and all of that, and also new requirements for earning revenue, new technologies available, new demands for education, and so on and so forth. So there really has been a lot of change in botanical gardens and conservancies, just as there have been in museums and zoos and all those sorts of places. Next. So some of the key trends have included content blending, that is to say, not only having, say, plants, but having the botany behind them, or maybe other types of science related to them. Just as libraries and museums have really been focused on moving beyond sort of being academic or educational, as it were, or conserving certain things, really moving towards community-centered programming. They're facing a lot of competition, as we know. There are more things to do, both from educational and conservation side, but also from private attractions and all that. Funding is an issue in all realms of the public sphere, all types. So that's an issue for so many. And again, going back to that idea about earning money as well as being taxpayer funded. A lot of times, they address all of those items that I've been talking about by making sure that their content meets the needs of their audiences. So that idea of market-driven content means trying to satisfy the needs and desires of the markets for these places. Now, part of that market is really changing. It's changing in many ways. One way that it's changing is that the age breakouts are changing. These phrases say plan for an aging population. There's a lot of changes in all aspects of the demographics of any audience for in any place, any city. Another important thing is as there are prices and ways to try to earn money, well, the value is going to be there. And so there's really a recognition of value for pricing, just as you would have at any sort of store or amusement park or any other place where money changes hands. And you have to provide the value. And the last thing is, there's a lot of use of technology in conservatories and all of that. So we're really seeing that as part of that as well as So these are kind of in various order. So the criteria for success. I think I've kind of lost my papers here a little bit. I'll try to catch up so I'm not just sitting back at the board. So the criteria for success are like any real estate project, if you will, great location, site. A lot of that is a part of it is what's possible. Strong community support, and we talked about sort of the needs of the audience here. You should be big enough to be a place that people go, because people think about, should we do something not only on the price or the education, but the time spent there. So you have to have enough there to bring people in and bring them back. And, you know, it has to be dynamic, it has to be changing. And again, we look at the dome here, we're always changing. We understand that that's an important driver. Okay. Again, broad. You know, some of these are a little repetitive, but this is a slightly different point. Appeals to a broad audience. It has to be appealing to all people in a given party. So it may have to deal with little kids. It may have to deal with people who are older. It may have to be people who are interested. In this case, in technical issues, and maybe people aren't, all of that. People are demanding that they get a lot of value both in terms of fun and learning. So this is another important item. Cause related means a lot too. That is to say, if you're not only learning, but you're helping save the planet in some form of fashion, or helping people out, or anything that's cause related makes a big difference. This endowment fund, I think that's a word that, you know, it's not only to say having an endowment, but those other conservatories and botanical gardens out there, yeah, many of them have endowments, but they also have, you know, set sources of funds that they can rely on. And that's really the key there, is not living hand to mouth from one visitor's ticket and one retail sale, really having steady funding so that they can plan and move forward on a consistent basis. And a program of reinvestment. And, you know, we all, you know, when you think about amusement parks, well, every few years there's a new, you know, roller coaster that's going to bring them in, like Grand Titan Killer roller coaster. Well, that's part of that model that keeps them coming back. But all of this educational attractions and all that, they must reinvest too. Really important, because otherwise, you know, the public just isn't seeing those reasons to come back. You lose your relevance. So Trenton Botanical Gardens that, in a sense, respond to all those many things I've just talked about are governance. Many of these botanical gardens and so on have really brought in private partners. Maybe they're operated by private partners. Now, private means likely that's not for profit, right? And so that the strength of the friends or whatever that group, you know, grows, or maybe they're the operator and they have a working relationship with the owner, the government entity, usually some fully private, maybe they've been given away. But that governance thing is important. They're doing a lot of programs, they're using the facilities, and they're upgrading the facilities or doing things with their facilities. Next. Again, this is just some idea. You've had a chance to read all this, so I'm not going to go through all this. But this is just an idea about many of the programs that are available. And some of these are really part and parcel of the opportunities that you have moving forward with the domes in the future. Next. So this series of slides just puts a little bit of a, in this case, cute little face there, puts a face to some of these ideas. So integrating STEM and STEAM topics into this. Now, this may seem a little mysterious, And what this is, those, and maybe you get it, but this is the root systems. And they're demonstrating how much more underground there is than above. You know, so that's that steam and stem sorts of...
Where is that?
Yeah. So I've got an annotated one here, so I knew that. I said, give me the annotation, and then I'll... I've got that. Okay, that's at the United States Botanical Garden exhibit exposed, the secret life of roots. So we, you know, these are all from various botanical gardens out there. So then this other one's, you know, a hearing tube, and this little lady here is what this kind of butterfly chart. So, you know, art and nature is really a big, big topic, and they've always been tied together, of course. So many botanical gardens are doing that at all sorts of ways, from adults to kids, you know, and in many facets of what art and nature means. And that's a really great way to reinforce art, great way to reinforce, you know, learning about nature and all that. Next. So health and wellness programs. Now this, you know, it's interesting that health and wellness means not only physical health, but mental health as well. And so, you know, botanical gardens and conservatories have a very good opportunity to address both of those facets. And they have the kind of facilities where, you know, you can run programs that are just, you know, it's a community asset. Earlier we said, these places are getting connected to their communities. Well, this is a prime example of that connection. Next. Okay, domes. I see dark dome. Excuse me. So, you know, programs. So there's all sorts of programs that can go in many, many ways. That is to say, they can be straight learning, classes, and so on. They can be to something very general, one-shot deals like music, pop-up events. So the programs are often, in a sense, geared to the needs of the community and the physical assets and the organizational assets, and you find out what works for you in a given place. Okay, so that's how you explore, you know, how to do it well for your community and the successful gardens and conservatories are able to do that. Next. Facilities, you know, and so, you know, as you probably recall from looking at this presentation beforehand, we're really talking a lot about different ways that the facilities can be augmented here. And so, again, a given facility looks at what it needs and kind of puts that into place to back up where their opportunities and deficiencies are, and also what the community needs, what the programs need. So some of them are just straight, hey, here's a new opportunity, children's gardens, insectarium, and so on. Now some of these are supportive, restaurants and so on, that sort of thing. And then some are very much mission-oriented. And you're providing a reason, one of the reasons, for support. Because if you're asking for public or private support, you know, what's the rationale? And a lot of times, it's things like seed banks, conservation, plant science, and of course, all the educational items. But a lot of these programs are about justifying your existence beyond quality of life or tourism development. Okay, so you want to succeed on all those levels. Next. Some more pictures. Now, one of the big trends, really, is the children's gardens. They're in a lot of places. One of my clients, the Botanical Garden of Georgia, that I'm working with right now, is installing one this spring, you know, for instance. And so, and they come in all forms and whimsy and all this. They're great for kids, great for families, and they're a big, big draw. But then they've proven to be, you know, successful in all measures. And one can, and by the way, one can think about elements of children garden being either outdoor, indoor, both. They can really, they just plan for, again, what are the circumstances, what are the opportunities in a location. Next. Butterfly Gardens and Houses, again, you know, a proven winner, as it were, and there are many, many locations throughout the United States. They're in different settings. We see them in science museums, we see them in zoos and, you know, aquariums, all sorts of settings they've been successful in, as well as botanical gardens. So they're again, another big winner, a way to reach people, draw people in, and maybe they learn more, or again, just enjoy those. Next. Now, the treetop canopy walks are a more recent kind of phenomenon, as it were, or installation than probably those other two. But here, big, big success in bringing people up. They love it. They're successful. They've been done both outdoor and indoor settings successfully. People just love it. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to figure that out, that people love it. And all those, but, you know, those with fear of heights, I guess, are a great audience for this. With the height we have here to work with, you know, that's, I mean, physically, that looks like a good opportunity. Next. Here at the Cairns Zoo in Australia, this is an installation in a dome. And so you can see lots of parallels, to say the least, with this physical setting that we have. And again, very successful. Next. Now, this goes to, again, more of that myth, that core mission of conservation component of it. And here you have a way to really pull in that education, STEM learning, and conservation. And again, it's the sort of, and they clearly need funding. Maybe they can earn some revenue through their activities, but you know, we see this as a rationale for funding. And once they're helping to support the overall place to work with, you know, with their funding, then, you know, it's a win in terms of what the place, the Botanical Garden Conservatory is as a place, but also helping to support the finances of the institution. Next. Insectarium, there aren't as many of these, but they're pretty darn cool. There are many, by the way, insectarium, there are many good insect displays in different places, but this idea of insectarium can be either smaller or larger, and some are actually called insectariums. In New Orleans, for instance, at the Audubon Institute there, they have an insectarium. I'm quite sure some of these are pictures of that, indeed they are, as well as in Philadelphia. So you can see what... You either hate them or love them, or he loved to hate them, they've been very successful in many places. Next. Now, restaurant food services, as we know, particularly in Milwaukee, I think, people like to eat and have a good time. That's right. And so here we have, you know, tied to the rationale for going someplace, we want to spend time there. Yes, and we can extend our time. Part of a good time is having good food and a chance to rest if you've been doing all this stuff and all of that. So having a good food service that people think of, not as, oh yeah, I can get, you know, an ice cream sandwich, but rather, you know, many places have made that part of the rationale for going. Okay, next. Plants for sale. Yes, you have plants for sale, but this can be extended. And it can become a larger kind of activity. And many, not only plants for sale, but many good botanical gardens also have, you know, really have the space and the capacity and the budget to really put together a really good garden shop and make some serious money based on, you know, people getting inspired or wanting that or this or that. So, again, there's a real opportunity to expand that function here, as you know, as has been done in other places. Again, we have the growing capacity here to make it that kind of create our own product. Next. So you know, here's just a list of some of the other things that can happened and are happening in different places. What futures are you going to vote for? We all know that. Maybe some places have brought in a little aquarium component as part of that, and maybe either decorative, or maybe it can be specific to the biomes being interpreted in the garden. So you can go different ways with that one. Connecting the components of your place seamlessly. And one of the important things in success is having people be able to move through the facility, and that means indoor, outdoors, in different places work well. So that's an important facility part of the facilities to really have good circulation patterns. Getting it right on the energy costs is both good conversation, but also good business. Themed gardens. Now, in this case, an Ice Age garden has been kind of kicked around, and that means really having that Wisconsin focus and really putting forward what's in Wisconsin in a much bigger way with that idea of an Ice Age garden. Visitor orientation skills. When you arrive, here's what you should be looking out for and all of that. Temporary exhibit space, again, kind of akin to changing dome, but really focused towards that specific need. Next. So, this is a bit of a summary here for the presentations we've made so far. That is, there are large markets available in terms of Milwaukee and surrounding counties, but also the tourism market. You have an important part of the recitation here. And in all the cultural institutions in Milwaukee are from tourists, people from out of town, long day trips, and on overnight visits, visiting friends and relatives, and all that. So there is a market opportunity. There's a market opportunity here to have more visitors and earn more revenue. This plant, the physical plant, is a limitation to achieving that kind of the success you could have. And the budgets that you're now working with, if you're earning more, you can expand those budgets and therefore have this programmatic side and a physical improvement. So there's opportunities there in the budgetary side to be doing a lot more. And there are real identifiable opportunities, physical opportunities, to improve the way this place works. And we're going to be moving subsequently to what some of those opportunities are. Okay? So next. So this was the last slide from the last time. We just wanted to finish that up. And then here's a start of this portion of the presentation.
Before we go to that, are there any questions or comments from